think of the season upon us. What a blessing. Just the truth of the word, as we have had the privilege of reviewing the word concerning the coming of our Lord the last two Sundays. What a blessing to sing the songs, and there are those things that we don't grow tired of. And we're just thankful that we do have a living Savior to worship. A living Savior. It's not just a fairy tale. It's not some story that someone made up. But it's the truth. And it's our living Lord and Savior who came, who accomplished, and he's coming again. That's something, isn't it? Well, let's look to the Lord in prayer this evening. Andrew, the one who's wanting a title on this. This one's called, Where Are You? Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Thank you, Father, that we can be here this evening to recognize the truth of your love for us. You demonstrated that love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And before that took place, you sent your only begotten Son into this world. You didn't have to do that, but it was because you loved mankind and you wanted to provide a way of forgiveness and everlasting life. We will never be able to thank you enough. We thank you that our Savior lives. And we pray that you would speak to our hearts this evening. I pray that we might take to heart the truth. May we grow in grace and in the knowledge of you. And we'll thank you in your name. Amen. After the occasion of the eating of the forbidden fruit in the Garden of Eden, we discover that it tells us that Adam and Eve heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the night. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where are you? Where art thou? Where are you? Now, when God asked that question, it wasn't because God didn't know where Adam and Eve were. God knows everything, doesn't he? He was asking that question to get Adam and Eve to stop and realize that for the first time in their lives, they were not in the place that they should have been. Previous to this time, we assume that God's entering into the garden was something that they always enjoyed. It was something that they had looked forward to. It seems as though it was something that was a regular. God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. But for the first time, Adam and Eve were not in the place they should have been. And God asked that question to get them to stop and realize that very thing. This is, we've never been here before. And this isn't the place that we should be. But we find ourselves uncomfortable in the presence of God. Are you always in the place that you should be? I spent some time thinking about this question, and there are some other verses that, as far as our walk with the Lord, we could ask a similar question. And we're going to look at three of those this evening. The first question that we're going to ask ourselves, and I encourage you to ask yourself, are you where you could be? Are you where you could be? Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. What do you mean, are you where you could be? Explain yourself, Pastor. Are you where you could be as far as your knowledge of the Lord is concerned? 1 Corinthians 3, 1, 2, and 3, Paul said, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual," or spiritual individuals, "but as unto carnal, even as unto babes. I have fed you with milk and not with meat or solid food, for hitherto," up to this point, "you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. For you are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying, strife, and divisions, are you not yet carnal and walk as men?" Are you where you could be? Paul was writing to a group of individuals, and he very plainly was telling them, you are not in the place that you could be in your walk with the Lord. You are not in the place where you could be as far as what you know about the Lord, what you understand about the Lord. And Paul spells that out for them. He said, I could not spend time teaching you truths that are a little bit deeper than the scratching the surface, so to speak, of our Christianity. He said, I couldn't speak to you as spiritual men and women. I had to speak to you as carnal or fleshly. In reality, he said, I had to speak to you as babes. Let's translate that a little bit. What is Paul saying as he was writing to these people? We all understand, don't we, the level of knowledge that comes just simply with growing older, don't we? Yesterday afternoon, Grandma and I had the opportunity celebration for three of our grandsons. One of them is, he just turned, no, he'll turn four this week, won't he? One of them turned 14. One of them turned 15 on Pearl Harbor Day. And you know, as you talk with these boys, there's a way that we can talk with Jack and Nick and they can understand what we're saying. Because they're what? They have grown and they understand more. But then it comes to Ian, the little four-year-old. And we have to change the way we talk with them, because if I were to begin to talk with Ian the way I talk to Jack and Nick, Ian would look at me and say, huh? What are you talking about? I don't understand that. So we have to talk down in our minds, don't we? We have to think like a little one. We have to make sure that we're using words that those little ones can understand. Because if we use the bigger words, talking about subjects that Ian knows nothing about, he'd be totally lost. That's what Paul is saying here. He said, you are not where you could be in your relationship as far as your walk with the Lord and your knowledge of Him. Because of sinful hearts, you have not allowed the Word to bring about the changes in your life. When we open our hearts up to the Word of God, God can bring growth. And as we look at this, we think, what a sad thing here. Of the thoughts which might have been had they allowed the Word to work in their hearts. But they didn't do that. You say, well, maybe Paul is being unfair to them. Maybe he is expecting more of them than they are able. No, if Paul would be expecting more of them, he would have, if there would have been other features, which our second one is going to talk about as far as time is concerned, Paul didn't introduce this. As he begins talking to them, he talks about how in verse 14 of chapter 2, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. Notice in verse 11 of chapter 2, what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things which are freely given to us of God. What's Paul doing in chapter 2? He is establishing the fact that they have every capacity to be understanding spiritual truth. Because he is saying here that every true believer receives whom? receives the Spirit, and it is the Spirit that opens our eyes and reveals to us spiritual truth. The unsaved person does not have that. That's what he means in verse 14. The natural unsaved person, they can't understand spiritual truth, but we can because we have the Spirit. We go back to our text. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual people. You have the Spirit, but you have not allowed the Spirit of God to do His work in you. And so the question is, are you where you could be tonight? Are you where you could be? If you're a believer, you have the Holy Spirit. You can't blame it on the fact that, well, I don't have the capacity to understand spiritual truth. Yes, we do. Do we comprehend the meat of the word, or are we like these to whom Paul was writing here at Corinth? I fed you with milk, not with the strong, solid food, because up to this time, you have not been able to bear it. Well, where are you, Adam? Where are you, Adam? Where are we, Christian, today in the 21st century? Are we where we could be as far as our knowledge of the Lord? Let's ask ourselves a second question. Are you where you should be? Are you where you should be? And for that, let's turn to Hebrews chapter 5. What do you mean? Are we where I should be? In chapter 5, he is referring to the Son of God as he's called of God in verse 10, a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. It's concerning Jesus Christ. But we pick up the author of Hebrews, I think it was Paul, of whom, verse 11, of Christ after the order of Melchizedek, fulfilling that priestly position, we have many things to say. And he said, and they're hard even for us to express them. You know, as a pastor, I appreciate what Paul or the author here wrote. Sometimes I ask myself the question, how come I struggle so with this passage of Scripture? How come it's so difficult for me to be able to come to the sense of realization of what it means and be able to turn it around and teach it to the people? And what did the author here say? Well, we have many things that we would like to be saying about Christ, our high priest, after the order of Melchizedek. But he said, here they're hard to be uttered. Why? The difficulty had to do in this instance, not because of the topic, but because of what? The listeners. His struggle wasn't so much comprehending the truth, But his struggle was, how can I communicate the truth to my listeners because they are slow? That's what dull means. They're slow of hearing. Then the author says, for when the time you ought to be teachers, you've been saved long enough that you ought to be teaching others. That's why this second point, I have used the word, are you where you should be in your walk? Not just where you could be, but like the writer here, are you where you should be? The time when you ought to be. This ought to be true of you. You ought to be teaching others. You ought to be having Bible studies with your next door neighbor. You ought to be sitting down teaching truth to others around you. You don't all have to be the pastor. You don't all have to be the pastor's wife. Each can grow and gray in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and we can comprehend. He said, you should be teaching others. But in verse 12, the reality is, you have need that someone teach you again. And what? All of those hard portions of Scripture? No, he said, you have the need that someone takes you right back to the ABCs of salvation and the Christian life. The first principles of the oracles of God. And notice what has happened. You have become such as the ones that have need of milk and not of strong food. Something is wrong with your walk with the Lord. The writer is clearly teaching that enough time has passed since your salvation for you to be mature enough to be responsible for teaching others. And so the question here, where are you? Are you where you should be? We find here he is putting his finger on their maturity as a Christian and any ministry that they could and should be having to others. Where are you? Where are you? How much time does it take? Well, I've only known the Lord X number of years. Are you where you could be? Are you doing everything to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord? Paul there in 1 Corinthians, he said, I can't give you the spiritual truth because you are still living as carnal ones. You're still hanging on to those worldly things in your life. And it is prohibiting you from being able to receive spiritual truth. So I have to give you the milk of the word. The second group, these here in Hebrews, the sad result is after the passage of time and the failure to apply truth in their lives or to study the truth, it has affected their spirituality. You have become such as need. There's a problem. You know, when a person is sick, you go to whom? You go to the doctor and you try to get some help. And Paul, or the writer here, you read between the lines, he's saying, you have developed a condition. It has greatly affected your maturity. You, because your failure to be where you should be, can't have the ministry that by now you could have. Maturity, by now you're not where you should be, and because it has had an effect on you, it has brought you to the point where the only thing anybody can do for you is give you, once again, the milk of the word. Because that's the only thing you can understand. What a sad state of affairs for God's people. And these were God's people that he was speaking about and to here in Hebrews. Where are you, Adam? Yeah, we're asking ourselves tonight, where are we in our walk with the Lord? Are we where we could be? And more pointedly, are we where we should be? There's one more question I want us to ask ourselves. And we turn to Philippians chapter 3. And here the question is, are you where you would be? Are you where you would be or want to be? Philippians chapter 3. Here we find Paul is talking about, let's begin at verse 7. What things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Paul said, you know, there were a lot of things that were important to me before I became a believer. But he said, now, the thing that ranks uppermost is just my knowledge of the Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung or refuse, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him. You say, well, I thought you knew him as your own personal Savior. Oh yeah, he knew him as his own personal Savior. But Paul says, I want to be so near to the Lord. I want to be so much in fellowship with him. I want so much my relationship to him, with him, to grow, that I truly can say, I know this is pleasing to the Lord. That this is what Christ would have me do, that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, that I might be worthy of all that the Lord has for me. Now notice, not as though I had already attained. Either were already perfect. What's Paul saying? I'm not where I would be yet. I'm not where I want to be yet. I haven't arrived. Either were already perfect, but I was. after.
I.
And then we're told that word means to pursue. Paul said, I'm not there yet in the place that I want to be in my relationship with the Lord. But I want you to know, Paul said, I am not content with where I'm at. I am working toward getting to the place that I know the Lord wants me to be and that I want to be in my relationship with Him. Where are you? Are you where you would be? Paul says, I follow after that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have attained or apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be complete or mature, be thus minded. Let this be true of all of us, that each of us are pushing toward doing what we can to grow and mature and achieve victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the area especially that Paul is referring to. Are you where you would be as far as victory in your life is concerned? Are you satisfied? Have you reached the plateau? Have you come to the point where you're telling yourself, oh boy, you know, I'm sure glad I'm not what I used to be when I was back there after I just came to know the Lord as my Savior. I've come a long way. Well, praise the Lord. But there's still so much more to go. And that's this third question. Are you where you would be? Are you where you want to be? Paul the Apostle said, I haven't reached the point yet, but I'm working. And the question is, excuse me, are you? Where are you, Adam? Where are you, believer? Are you where you could be as far as your knowledge of the Lord is concerned? Are you where you should be as far as maturity and ministry in relation to the time you have been a believer? Are you where you should be? Or are you like those in Hebrews? You have become less than what you should be. And lastly, are you where you would be, want to be, in the area of victory and growth? Let's stand and we'll be dismissed in prayer, shall we? Father, I pray that you would use these three questions in each of our lives only you and each one of us individually knows the answer to these three questions in our own lives. I pray that we would ask ourselves these questions often for your glory and honor. And as your Spirit reveals things to us, pray that we might be desirous, not only desirous, but actually active in allowing your Spirit to do His each of our hearts and lives to bring progress in our walk with you. We ask this for your glory, in your name.